Welcome back to another episode of Another Mother Podcast, a safe place for blended families to unravel the blended chaos and share lessons learned, the good, the bad, and the high conflict. I'm your host, Dana. I've been a struggling and confused stepmom for over 8 years now, and I'm finally feeling like I'm starting to find my groove while flailing and failing along the way. Now let's grab a drink and talk some shit. Hey guys, welcome back. I hope you've all been having a great week so far. And everyone's kind of recovering after the holidays. I know that's really hard to kind of dive into. Ourselves, we have been kind of merging back into homeschool a little bit. And as for my bonus daughter, she is still off. She's still on her mom's time. We get her back tomorrow. And unfortunately, we just got the ridiculously shitty news that they will not be going back to school quite yet. I firmly believe that they're just gonna put them back online again, but who knows what the government will say or what the school will say. So fingers crossed that these kids can get some normalcy, but that's kind of where we're at right now, in case anyone was wondering. I know if you're in Canada, things are just getting crazy. I know Ontario is just absolutely insane. My heart goes out to you right now. Honestly, I don't know how parents, especially health workers, are doing it. So my hat goes off to you. We're all kind of in the same boat in some way, shape, or form. But again, if anybody needs any resources or anything like that from homeschool, just feel free to DM me. I am honestly more than happy to, just give you my perspective of how we kind of do things. And I can also point you in the direction of like some absolute veterans that I've been just slowly learning from. So again, that's always an option. You can always kind of just slow down and kind of, you know, take rein of the situation as best you can. So on that note, I know we always start out the episode with a positive, and I wanted to start that out with my son today. I know we often focus a lot on the bonus children and the situations revolving that, but honestly, in the last month, I've just been so absolutely blown away by my boy. I want to dedicate this episode to him. There's just so many reasons why he deserves to be mentioned today, and here's just a few. He's often outnumbered by girls in our family, and as a result, can get the short end of the stick. He misses his sister when she's gone and has his own transitional feelings to cope with on a regular basis. He isn't considered a real, I'm using quotation marks, sibling in the other home, and he can oftentimes be treated as such when my bonus daughter is feeling conflicted in front of her friends, aka tells everybody that's not actually her brother, and it breaks his heart. Yet, you nailed it. He always forgives and still loves her. He works incredibly hard on becoming a great person and living a healthy lifestyle, which is so admirable and encourages me to stay on track. Like every day, he just asks how he can be better, how he can do better, how he can take better care of himself. And it's absolutely just insane. It's insane. He has had a crazy lifestyle change in the last 2 years by being homeschooled. And he could choose to be angry, he could choose to be sad, and he could be confused, but he chooses joy every single time. Don't get me wrong, he has, you know, a few days here and there, but every day he wakes up going, what are we doing? What are we learning today? What can we do? And honestly, I give him the reins a lot on that stuff, but he enjoys being at home and he just chooses to stay positive on that note as well. He's the strongest person I know, and I know that's really, just typical to say, and I know he's only 8 years old, but he is literally the strongest person I know. And I dedicate this episode to him. Buddy, if you're ever listening to this, just know how much I admire you and that I know blended life can be tough for you. I think that if a lot of people could take a few pages from your book and learn a thing or two, this world would be a much more peaceful and loving place. Love, Mom. And insert my tears here. I did get emotional writing this the other night. Again, he's just been so courageous. He's just an unreal 8-year-old. He wants to help people. He wants to just make things easier on everybody. the conflict in raising a child like that is that, telling him it's okay to say no and it's okay to put yourself first, because he so often just wants to put everybody else first, which I think is so insanely admirable. So yeah, that one's for him. I gotta even tell you a little story the other day that we were planning a little kind of get together with my in-laws and my dad, and just to kind of come over on New Year's Day and just have like a nice barbecue steak. We were gonna have a fire. It was like the first day in a long time where it wasn't freezing cold to be outside, so we were really excited about it. And but we had a lot of stuff to do because it's been so cold and just absolutely freezing here in Alberta. We hadn't shoveled the driveway, nothing had really gotten done, so we had a bunch of things that we needed to get done. We had to carry some firewood in, make a pile, go in the backyard, kind of clean that up, shovel off the deck, bring the chairs out, etc. Like, let me tell you, that kid did all of that. He did all of that with my spouse. I, took care of everything on the inside and the food and everything like that. But they were outside for a good couple hours just trying to truck through everything. And did he didn't complain once. Like, he didn't complain once, and he was just so excited to host and make sure that everybody had a good time and was comfortable. So again, I just have so many great things to say about him, and he's just really shown me this week just how, I've always known that, of course, biased mom, how wonderful he is, but I needed to point that out, and I was able to read this to him the other night. He was having a bit of a rough time falling asleep, and he was a little bit upset. And so I read to him, a little bit of what I had written, and he would just have the biggest smile on his face, and he was like, "Thank you so much for those words, mommy." So I just thought that was awesome. And also a good way to start off the podcast. So I did. This one was a tricky one, but I was a bit inspired on this episode just by talking to a friend recently about a situation she was thrust into between two co-parents and a stepmom, where she honestly just felt so stuck. She's friends with both households, and to make it more complicated, the husbands are friends too. So there's the bio dad, stepmom, and then on the other side, there's the bio mom. So long story short, they all talk shit about each other to other mutual friends, and it's gotten to the point that it's created divides between others, and it's gotten completely awkward where people want to cut off their friendships because they're in such a pickle. And they just don't know how to engage from the conversation. And I just feel like that's so many of us. We've all been in that situation, whether you've been the person feeling stuck or the person that you've just kind of unknowingly put people in a little bit of a predicament, you know? So instead of doing an episode for others to disengage and like learn how to kind of navigate that situation, I just thought, had a thought of why not actually target the problem for blended families, and to not actually put our friends, our loved ones, or just like people that we see on a regular basis, let's not put them in these situations anymore. Okay. This got me thinking about my current co-parenting situation, and although it's a lot better these days, we've really had to navigate through that. And I remember so many instances where this, like, we put people in weird situations, not necessarily on purpose. Like, I don't feel like any of us really do this on purpose. But a lot of us just do this unknowingly, and we kind of put people just in weird situations where they don't know what to say or how to act. When we were really high conflict, aka going through arbitration and what have you, the negative vibe was a lot for people who we all came in contact with. That includes teachers, that includes coaches, friends, parents, etc. Like, it was a fucking nightmare. Like, I felt bad for everybody. Sometimes I would feel the vibe if there was like, my bonus daughter's friends, parents who I was maybe picking up from, who they were maybe more close with, bio mom and what have you. Like, I just felt like the evil step, which no matter how nice I was, or no matter how, like, it didn't matter. There was just a vibe, and there was sides. Like, everybody kind of was either on a side or stuck in the middle. Her sports, her extracurricular activities were where I specifically felt it the most. And I always just felt bad for people who didn't know how to act or talk to my spouse and I. or on the other side, BioMom and her husband as well. We were always a little more on the open side and friendlier as well, which made us the more approachable parents from what I'm told. And I honestly feel like that only worked in our favor because we were really dedicated to just being around all the time. Like we were always there. We always chose to be there, one of us. Our schedules, it just worked for us that way. And we wanted to be a part of it. We wanted to see the growth and we wanted to, you know, witness what she was doing. So we were just there on a more regular basis and we were able to kind of develop relationships and friendships with people a little more regularly just because we were there and those parents were always there, right? But what I was really talking about, obviously, when you're going through arbitration, when you're going through court, when you're going through mediation, or when you're just plain fucking co-parenting with people, it can be really tricky. You're mad, you know, and some of these things are quote unquote like unforgivable. You just can't, you don't know how to manage your rage, and it's just better you don't talk to these people. Some people, and actually, we did have a family on one of our teams who they were the only other blended family. Let me just say that. So us trying to navigate through was really hard, but we only knew one other one and they were super high conflict to the point where they had restraining orders against each other. And only one parent could attend the child's extracurricular activity or whatever it was at a time. And they had kind of rotations of when they could do that. It was so crazy. And I just thought, I don't know, like in a way they didn't have to be around each other. So there was no, you could tell even for the child, there was no, I don't know, I guess there was no worry about what was going on. Like I know for my bonus daughter, like it affected her. It affected her in so many ways, the way we were just like kind of not talking to each other and we were weird. And like one family was on in the stands over here and one family was in the stands over there looking pissed off. Like it was crazy. So that being said, I know I've talked about it a little bit before, but we did talk about away tournaments. So away tournaments were my nightmare. And it's unfortunate because those types of things for the children can be so much fun. And you know, it can just be an amazing, amazing experience and opportunity. So just picture this. Again, I think I've said this before in a past episode. I'm sure I've related back to it, but it can relate to so many things. So we were in the same hotel. Oftentimes we're in rooms right next to each other. So again, it was like me and my spouse and BioMom and her spouse. And we were either across the hall, down the hall, or right beside each other majority of the time. Because of course, when you're on sports teams, you book a block and you all kind of get right alongside each other. So if my bonus daughter was on our time, we encouraged her to go back and forth from rooms when she felt like it. But she was, when she was on her mom's time, she was never actually allowed to come back to our room. Whether that was implied and told to her or whether my bonus daughter just felt like she absolutely couldn't because it would just like upset her mother. I'm not 100% sure. This is assumptions, but this was definitely like a pattern. If her mom brought her, she was never allowed to actually come into our room, barely allowed to kind of chat with us. So we were always just kind of existing and there. And, you know, if there was a problem with the team, for example, BioMom would often go against coach's rules for curfew and or pool time. You know, like obviously these kids had a ton of fun and there was a ton of running around and playing and being insane. But sometimes if there was like a really important early game the next morning, coach would say, hey, okay, we're done swimming at 8 p.m., you know, and it's in your rooms for the rest of the night, which is fair. Not saying the kids have to like actually go to bed and like do this and do that, but like, it was just important. And I think I, for certain, like me and my spouse, we totally agreed with it. We felt like, you know, there's time and a place, we can have fun, we can do this, we can do that. But, you know, there's something to be said for having a little bit of discipline, you know, and just like doing that for your team so that you can be kind of your best version of yourself the next day. Oftentimes BioMom would just go against it. She would say, fuck it, basically go let her swim anyway. She'd let her go to bed at whatever time, and then she would just play like shit the next day. And, you know, as a result, the parents, the coaches, the team would be fucking mad at her and disappointed in her. And it was sad. And then a lot of times the parents would be like, well, why to us? Like, you know, why didn't you guys like do something? And it's like, well, we can't fucking say anything. And if we did, you know, like she would just do the opposite anyway. It's not our parenting time. So we're literally as powerless as you are right now. And it just, again, it was such an awkward situation. And like, since like, just not being able to be in control of something that you should be in control in, like we should all be united, you know, for her in front of her, what like would have been the best thing for her. And we were just so powerless and it was so frustrating. And I remember the parents just being like so mad and they wouldn't talk to her. And she would be like, well, I don't fucking care. Cause like I'm her parent and she doesn't have to listen to you. And it was just awful. There were a lot of social events that all of the parents, you know, were invited to maybe like sit down, have drinks or have dinner or just, you know, get together and whatever. I'm just somebody who's punctual. So I was always usually there with my spouse or, you know, he'd be off wandering around because that wasn't necessarily his jam. And then when Bio Mom arrived, she'd just take one look at me existing there in a chair and turn around and walk right out of the room, which didn't faze me. And it actually, you know, always made me just chuckle inside my head, like grow up. But it made others feel extremely uncomfortable and not know what to say. And I do remember at one point after a few years of being on kind of the same group of people, them asking me like, what is the deal and how do you manage that? And like, you know, why isn't she more involved and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, as much as I want to fill people in, I also don't feel like it was my place. So I'd kind of just give them like a very basic answer of like, hey, we're just not vibe. We don't vibe. We don't fight, but we don't vibe and we try. And, you know, sometimes I'll just like remove myself from situations because I feel it's important that she's involved. But then most of the time she wasn't involved. So it was like, I felt like somebody needed to kind of be there. So it was like, we would step in. And I never wanted to kind of throw her under the bus. Like, I have no idea who she talks to. I have no idea who she's maybe bonded with. And I didn't want to step on any toes. You know, I think a lot of the time it was pretty easy to assume that she didn't talk to anybody and nobody really cared to really get to know her. But I just didn't want to do that. Like, we're not in high school, we're adults. This is my stepdaughter's team. And I don't want to put her mom in like a bad light. Like, if they want to find out something or they want to talk to her, go for it. Like, you can find that out on your own kind of thing. And it was exhausting. Like, there was, I think one of the last tournaments that we all went together, I had like I don't say this and I don't use this and I'm not this person. I'm not an anxious person, but I'm pretty sure I had like a very severe anxiety attack in the car on the way to the last away tournament because I just couldn't handle it anymore. It was too much. It was too much like anger. I've never had someone who just like I see on a regular basis that like hates my insides, I guess you could say. Like, I've never had someone that's hated me that much that couldn't stand to be in a room with me, especially when it has everything to do with somebody that you love so much. Like, when it comes to my kids, I love them so much. And because I love her so much, it's like, I'm the worst person in the world. So it's like a crazy thing. It's like, well, she maybe liked me a little bit more if I loved her daughter a little less. And that was just not something I was willing to do, but stepping back from time to time was something that I definitely had to navigate more so that it would like, not that I need to do her any favors, but hopefully I could tell with my bonus daughter, like she wanted her mom involved more too, as well as me. But for that to happen, for her to be more comfortable, like there were times where I had to just step back. So that being said, I mean, when you're in those situations and people are asking questions, I mean, I think they have every right to kind of ask, especially if it's been over a period of time of like, hey, what's the deal? And I mean, it's up to you what you choose to say, but I really feel like the smarter route is to just kind of keep it really basic and hopefully be able to navigate it. So, you know, you're not talking shit about anybody. This is just how it is. And you hope for better in the future, if you know what I mean. But again, that got me thinking. I mean, if that's how uncomfortable it makes those bystanders, those friends that you've made, can you even imagine how this makes the children feel? We can't continue to do this. And if not for others, let's do it for the kids. And it really does just kind of go to show, like, the last tournament we did go to before all the lockdown bullshit happened, we went away. Her mom and her stepdad weren't able to make it. They were going on vacation. So it was just us. And I was like, oh, I'm so looking forward to this. Like, this is actually going to be like a nice time away in a little small mountain town. It's going to be so beautiful. And not only was it, the vibe was great, but like my bonus daughter's performance was insane. Like, insane. She was on it. She was focused. She was able to not sweat it. Like, she was... To me, it's like she was so worried every single time being on that ice about what was going on in the stands that it's like she could never focus on actually just being in the game. And when it was just one family there, I can't say for sure if it would have happened if it was just her mom and her stepdad, because they're not like competitive. They're not those supportive kind of people. They're just like, yay, we're here and we're existing. Whereas, you know, we're a little more like, hey, give it your all. You don't have to win. You know, you don't have to be the best, but just try. Try for the other girls, you know, try for you on your team, you know. And she played like a freaking rock star. It was crazy. Like, she was MVP. She was star of the game. And she was such a good teammate. Like, she was such a supportive teammate. It was absolutely unreal. And it's something that I'll never forget. And in fact, she won the gold medal, her and her team, that weekend. And it's just something, again, I'm not sure if we'll ever get back into organized sports, but that is honestly just something I will never, ever, ever forget for her. And I don't think it's a coincidence. But again, making this change for the kids. Before we're able to make a change, we need to be able to first look outward. And if you needed a sign, this is it, okay? I know you've heard this a time or two, but we all really need to start putting the children's needs first. Again, if you've been to arbitration, if you've been to mediation, court, anything, you know we need to start putting the children's needs first. And sometimes those are just words. But sometimes you really, really need to sit down and think, what am I doing that's not putting the children's needs first? And sometimes that is just being quiet. Honestly, congratulations if you already are. None of us are perfect, but my guess is that if you're listening to this episode or any type of blended family podcast, you care immensely and you'll do whatever it takes to better yourself for the sake of the kiddos. So my hat's already off to you. So first, let's ask ourselves a few questions. Number one, do you find yourself so consumed in the conflict that it is all you seem to be able to talk about? I'll give you a second. Okay, number two, do you overshare? For example, someone asks how everything is going, and you find yourself all of a sudden going into detail about your murder for hire. I'm just kidding, kind of, but do you see what I mean? If you said yes to one or both of these things, it's time for a change, okay? Now, again, this isn't to point fingers. This was also something I still to this day go through on a regular basis. Just the other day, I needed to do it. Is it worth saying something or do I let this one go, right? I get it. I've been there. And sometimes, yes, I still am. It takes me a hot minute to correct myself. But if it does happen, after all, I'm human and we make mistakes. You make a mistake, you say something that you probably shouldn't have said, you can always retract it. You can always apologize and say, I'm really sorry. I don't know why I said that. That wasn't fair to you. I'm sorry. Moving on with life, right? Like, after all, we are all human. It's just recognizing it. Back in the thick of it, it consumed our lives mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially, of course. We can never forget about that. The drama completely consumed my relationship with my spouse and made me a weaker mom, and that's where I just draw the motherfucking line. Like, I cannot be a weaker mom. I need to be the best mom I can be at all times, right? The stress ate me alive, and as we all know, stress feeds illness. And let's just talk about stress for a minute. Stress can suppress your immune system, upset your digestive and reproductive systems, and increases the risk of heart attack and stroke. It can even rewire your brain, leaving you more vulnerable to anxiety, depression, and other mental health problems. Thanks so much to helpguide.org for that. That's where I got a lot of that information. Again, we know how much stress can wreak havoc on our bodies and our minds, but I just needed a little bit of help there. So thank you for that, Help Guide. And that, my friends, is a lot of detrimental illnesses that we can hopefully avoid by not allowing it to consume you. I, for one, could not allow someone else's behavior to consume our lives and be the reason that we become ill in the future. Like, that's just not a possibility for me. So again, if there's a sign for you there, it's we want to live long enough to see our grandchildren. We want to live long enough to fulfill our lives. We want to live long enough to, you know, have that bucket list. We want to see people and be involved, right? So now let's ask ourselves this. Is it possible to add some boundaries to our lives so that we can live more peacefully as a whole, while simultaneously making our children's lives more peaceful? And while we're at it, maybe those innocent bystanders too. Your answer should be abso-fucking-lutely. Again, this isn't to say you need to pretend all the nasty shit isn't happening in your life. It is. We know this. You know this. Everybody knows this, right? It simply just means taking control of when you let it affect you. In the last 6 months of our arbitration, I was so over updating our family and friends and hearing my spouse vent to me every time he called me from work, which was 3 to 4 times a day. Yes, he calls me a lot. It all started when he was quitting smoking. Every time he wanted a cigarette, he would call me, and that's how he got through that. So he calls me 3 to 4 times a day. And then actually just living through the drama when it's happening in real time, which was all the time at that point. So it was just too much. It was too much for me and my brain to handle. I finally told my spouse that I couldn't do it anymore, and we came up with a time frame that worked for both of us, when we could vent and get out everything we needed to get out in that time frame without affecting anyone else, aka the kids had to be in bed sleeping. I started to only vent to my closest friend outside of my spouse, only when she asked about it, and I tried to keep it at a minimal. Excuse me. I wanted to be someone that had more than just negative news all the time, so I made more of an effort to find those positives in my life, and I realized that they were so much easier to find than I thought if I just looked for them, right? I've said it once and I'll say it again. Journal, journal, journal. Shit happens, and sometimes you just need to let that shit out immediately. You know, when you're about to just pop, like your face is red, you've got steam coming out your ears, like you need to get that shit out immediately and you can't wait till that designated time. Okay, give yourself 10 minutes. Let it out on paper and say what you need to say. Get it out in that time frame, and then later on you can get it right back out to your spouse. Okay, so at the end of the day, guys, I'm just saying to be more mindful of the situation you put others in. And in turn, you can end up a much more happier and healthier you. We can control this if we set up the boundaries. And I just wanted to add that I do understand that not everyone has someone they can vent to, and that I'm more than happy to be that person. Feel free to send me a DM on IG or send an email to info@anothermotherpodcast.ca. Hell, we can even arrange a video chat. I'm here for you, bonus mama. Okay, so please just feel free. Take it as a tiny baby step. Try just one day. Try one day. Thank you for listening to Another Mother Podcast and being a part of our community. Remember, no matter how unique your situation, you are not alone. To be a part of the show, make episode topic suggestions, or to share your story, please email info@anothermotherpodcast.ca and make sure to follow at Another Mother Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, and leave us a rating on your preferred podcast app if you enjoyed the show. Bye-bye!